Resources, copyright, useful tips for using education technology in the classroom. January 1, 2022. This issue of My Computers in Classrooms newsletter dates from 2001. I am reproducing these newsletters partly in order to make sure that some of the history of using education technology is preserved, and partly because some of it is still relevant. That applies especially to the tips section. Obviously, some of it will appear rather dated, particularly references to floppy disks, but the pedagogical aspects are still useful. Another interesting aspect of these newsletters is their depiction of governmental involvement in education technology. An amazing degree of involvement, in fact. The Computers for Teachers scheme is discussed here. For example, I've formatted the headings and added a table of contents to make the newsletter a bit easier to navigate and read. I've also added Still Works next to websites that still work. Finally, I've anonymized the teachers and their schools whom I've cited. If you enjoy reading this, you may be astonished to learn that the newsletter is still going strong, but with a more up-to-date name, Digital Education. Click that link to find out more, and to subscribe, for free. Archives, by Terry Friedman. Archives, by Terry Friedman. In this article. In this issue. Quick test. News section. Newsletter news. Essential ICT books. Assessment assistance. Copyright concerns. The impact of ICT resources on achievement. Internet safety. Computers for teachers. The gender gap. An international perspective. E-mentoring. Resources. The ICT in Education website update. New link. New search engine. A guide to the ICT in Education website. Other useful websites. Asterisk asterisk stop press asterisk. Other websites. The Association of Teachers Websites, ATW. Other people's lives. A useful reference site. A web-based guide to using ICT. Quality not quantity. Book review. Tips. Word processing tip. Data handling tip. Internet tip. Classroom tip, Word tip, Excel tip, faulty disk tip, over to you, why do it? Features, the classroom of the future, getting the most from your ICT coordinator, something to ponder, about the editor, quick test answer, about the proofreader, to subscribe to this newsletter. Disclaimer, computers in classrooms. Equals 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 ISSN 1470-5524. Edited by Terry Friedman, email compic@ictineducation.org. Proofread by Mark Adams, email mark@eurobell.co.uk. Homepage, www.ictineducation.org. Volume 1 Issue 9 asterisk asterisk 1 May 2001. Equals 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 equals. In this issue. Dash 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 dash. News. Resources. The ICT in Education website update asterisk other useful websites. Tips. Over to you. Why do it? Features. The classroom of the future. Getting the most from your ICT coordinator. Something to ponder. Newsletter. About the editor asterisk about the proofreader asterisk subscription. Details asterisk disclaimer. Advertisement. Actis Science Online is looking for writers. Dash 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 dash. If you reckon you're a bright spark in the world of ICT in science teaching and you want to make an impact on the way ICT is used in the classroom and the lab, please contact Simon DePinna, the editor of Science Online, at simon.depinna@actis.co.uk. You might like to check out the site in its prototype form at www.scienceonline.co.uk. Many thanks. SDP. Actis Limited. Telephone 01XXXXXXXX. www.actis.co.uk. Dash 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 dash. If you would like to advertise in this newsletter, please see www.ictineducation.org. Quick test. Any idea where the following quote comes from? Answer towards the end of the newsletter. I was in a printing house in hell, and saw the method in which knowledge is transmitted from generation to generation. Dash 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 dash. News section. Dash 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 dash. Newsletter news. In the last edition of Computers in Classrooms, I asked you to let me know how many people you pass the newsletter on to. Thanks to everyone who responded. I can now tell you that the minimum readership is just under 2,500. This is a minimum figure because not everyone sent me information. So it could be a lot more. The spread was quite wide, with some of you passing the newsletter on to nobody else, and others of you circulating it to 200 others. This seems to be quite common for teacher training lecturers to do, with the result that in several cases students have signed up in their own right. I linked a prize draw to the request for readership information, and I am delighted to tell you that this was won by subscriber MC, who lives in the USA. Dash 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 dash. Essential ICT books. Also in the last edition, I mentioned that I intended to write an ebook of reviews of books that could be of interest to ICT teachers. I haven't forgotten this, but because of the volume of stuff I have had to do, I've had to put it on the back burner, as they say. I'll pick it up as soon as possible. Dash 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 dash. Assessment assistance. Thanks ever so much to everyone who responded to my cry for help, namely a request to take part in a survey for some case studies on assessment for The Guardian newspaper. Plus apologies to everyone who sent me items that weren't used. I know how valuable everyone's time is these days, so I really do appreciate the effort you made. Go to education.guardian.co.uk, still works, and education.guardian.co.uk, still works, to see most of the case studies and articles online. Dash 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 dash. Copyright concerns. A few issues ago I mentioned some concerns I had about the contributory database, later renamed the Teacher Resource Exchange, TRAE. contribute.ngfl.gov.uk, with respect to Bechter assuming ownership of the copyright in contributions. My main concern was that, because in the UK the copyright in any resources produced for work belongs to the employer, would-be contributors were being asked to assign rights to Bechter that they did not actually own. Also, I felt that there was a principle at stake, namely that people shouldn't be asked to give their copyright ownership away, even to a benign organization like Bechter. As a result of my and others' comments to Bechter, the copyright statement has been radically changed. In a nutshell, the copyright owner, i.e. you or your school, retain the copyright, but grant Bechter and users of the tray the right to use the material. See contribute.ngfl.gov.uk for details. This is not only good news in itself, but also demonstrates that making a few polite suggestions to the right people is usually more effective than moaning in private. It also exemplifies the fact that Bechter intends the tray in particular, and the virtual teacher center in general, to be as useful as possible. Looking at this issue in a more general sense, there are several non-governmental organizations that have the equivalent of the tray. Before uploading any resources, you should look in the small print to check that the company doesn't claim copyright ownership of anything that people contribute. Dash 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 dash. The impact of ICT resources on achievement. According to the research reports on the classroom of the future, primary and secondary, there is a positive correlation between the level of ICT resources and the level of achievement. So far, so unexpected perhaps. However, the effect is noticeable on subjects other than ICT as well. For example, at Key Stage 3, 77% of pupils in schools with very good resources achieved level 5 or above in English. Noticeable improvements were seen in examination results at GCSE level and also at primary level. For more information, go to www.bechter.org.uk. Dash 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 dash. Internet safety. Michael Wills, the Minister for Learning and Technology, and Carol Vorderman have teamed up to offer new safety guidelines to protect children from the seamier side of the internet in schools. The new guidance for schools is displayed on the DfE's internet safety website, safety.ngfl.gov.uk, from where you can download the entire document. ICT coordinators in England take note. Adherence to the guidelines is one of the conditions governing schools' access to standards fund money. The revised guidance to schools covers the following areas: children's email addresses, both whole class and individual; identification of individual children via the internet, e.g. from pictures on a school website; advice for pupils, teachers and parents about chat rooms in an educational context, including a checklist of what to look for in a safe chat room. The guidance has been produced by the DfEE and Bechter, with help from NCH Action for Children, the Parents Information Network, the Internet Watch Foundation, ChildNet, Disney and the British Educational Suppliers Association. There are a couple of useful printed resources that are related to this area, both from schoolmanager.net, the Stationery Office. E-Policy. Guidelines for Education takes the main areas of internet-related activity, such as email, and points out the sorts of things that school managers should be aware of, and what sort of advice, rules should be included in a school policy. This costs £7.50. A model e-policy for schools is also available, free of charge, in both PDF and Word formats. It makes a useful supplement to the book. For more information, see www.schoolmanager.net. Still on the subject of email, Lynn Dawes, of Bechter, is putting together some guidelines for using email in classroom projects at Key Stage 2. If you would like to see a draft copy in order to comment on it, please email Lynn at lynn_dawes@bechter.org.uk. dash 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 dash. Computers for teachers. The UK government is putting a further £50 million into the Computers for Teachers scheme in England, to be spent over the next 3 years, which will allow a further 70,000 teachers to get rebates of up to £500. By 2004, the government will have spent a total £75 million, and over 100,000 teachers will have been helped in buying a personal computer. A consultation exercise to decide which group of teachers will qualify for. This phase of the scheme will run until the 22nd of June 2001. The consultation exercise considers whether the computers should be allocated to teachers or to schools, and several possible approaches if the first option is preferred. Look at www.cft.ngfl.gov.uk for a breakdown of the options and their advantages, disadvantages, and the chance to have your say. Dash 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 dash. The gender gap. Employment Minister Tessa Jowell, E-commerce Minister Patricia Hewitt and Learning and Technology Minister Michael Wills have announced plans to set up all-girl computer clubs in schools, aimed at girls aged between 8 and 14 years old. Jointly supported by the DFEE and DTI, the project will encourage more young women to take up ICT as a career. Michael Wills said, "We are acting swiftly to address this task force recommendation by designing an all-girl computer club model that can be replicated right across the school system. These clubs will help shift the dowdy and dull image that computers have for girls by making computers relevant to their lives. They will not only see how it helps with researching for school projects, but also how to design a best friend's birthday card." For more information on this news item, go to www.dfee.gov.uk for an article one wrote about this a couple of years ago, yet still relevant. Unfortunately, see www.ictineducation.org. There is also another government site on this subject called Gender and Achievement. Its address is www.standards.dfee.gov.uk. It seems quite extensive, and focuses on the data and how it can be used in a whole school approach. Dash 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 dash. An international perspective. For an international perspective on what you can do with computers and the Internet, tune in to the eScola Week, Learning Together, event, which runs from the 7th to the 11th of May. For more information go to www.bechter.org.uk. Dash 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 dash. For other DFEE press releases see www.dfee.gov.uk and scroll through the pages. Dash 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 dash. E-mentoring. For the experience of discussing issues with members of an e-mentoring team, visit www.compact.co.uk or www.mirandanet.ac.uk. equals. Resources. Dash 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 dash. The ICT in Education website update. Dash 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 dash. Advertisement, ebook, using ICT. This ebook, using ICT, consists of nearly 200 tips for using computers in classrooms. In addition to the material that is already on the ICT in education website, such as how to start a lesson in a computer room, there is advice on other issues too, such as how to get the most out of your school's ICT coordinator. Contents include asterisk 11 ways to be a good role model, asterisk 8 reasons to use computers in lessons, 22 example activities, 16 ways of telling if you're doing a good job, asterisk 17 ways to help your ICT coordinator help you. It's in PDF format, so can be read by both PC and Mac owners, and it's available from the ICT in Education website. Download a limited trial version, or buy the full version for £9.99 or $15, which includes a site license. See www.ictineducation.org for details. Dash 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 dash. If you would like to advertise in this newsletter, please see www.ictineducation.org. Dash 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 dash. New link. A link to the recently formed Association of Teachers Websites, ATW, has been placed on the index page of the ICT in Education website. www.ictineducation.org. See under other useful websites for further details of the ATW. I submitted my website's URL for approval, which was received, so it's now listed on the ATW website. Dash 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 dash. New search engine. For some time now I have been using Google as my site's search engine. However, I wasn't completely satisfied with it because it included other websites in the search results. I have just discovered, and switched to, a search engine called Atoms. This took about 20 minutes to set up, from registering to making it fully functional. I've tested it using several kinds of searches, and it gives excellent results every time. It also provides other information, such as page errors and various statistics. What's more, it's free. If you have a website, I would recommend that you consider this for your search engine. You can see how it performs by going to www.ictineducation.org. The Atoms website is www.atoms.com. Dash 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 dash. A guide to the ICT in Education website. This newsletter is supported by the ICT in Education website. For example, the section called Jargon Buster has been transferred to www.ictineducation.org. You can access other information about the newsletter at www.ictineducation.org. The aim of the ICT in Education website is to provide suggestions about managing ICT in schools and colleges, and how to use computers to reduce the amount of time and energy teachers expend on administrative tasks. Sections include various how-to pages, downloadable utilities, book reviews and others, including articles adapted from ones that I have had published. Dash 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 dash. Other useful websites. Building the grid. At last, a central reference point on the internet just for ICT. Managed by Helen Warner with support from Richard Selwyn and others at Becta, this website contains a wealth of useful information, or, rather, links to the relevant documentation. I discovered recently, and to my relief, that I am not the only person who finds useful information on the World Wide Web, and then cannot find it again. The Building the Grid site helps to overcome that problem by centralizing the information. Thus, there is a useful summary of the various government-set ICT targets and a briefing paper on broadband, as well as other documents. From what I have seen, this site is growing like Topsy, so it is definitely worth bookmarking and returning to it once a week or so. The address is www.becta.org.uk. Other official websites to investigate this month are the ones listed in the news section, i.e. the Teacher Resource Exchange at contribute.ngfl.gov.uk. Internet Safety Guidelines at safety.ngfl.gov.uk. Computers for Teachers at www.cft.ngfl.gov.uk. Girls Computer Clubs at www.dfee.gov.uk. See also www.ictineducation.org and www.standards.dfee.gov.uk. The Learning Together event at www.becta.org.uk. Dash 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 asterisk asterisk stop press asterisk. Changes to the standards website. Just as this newsletter was about to be published, another set of changes to the standards site was announced. A new search facility has been installed at www.standards.dfee.gov.uk. This is stage one of an ongoing program. Frameworks for teaching in key stage three have been published. These documents and pages are well worth a visit. For example, there is an excellent document called Auditing a Subject at www.standards.dfee.gov.uk. There is also a newly published framework for teaching English at www.standards.dfee.gov.uk. The schemes of work have been on the standards site for some time. Now, there is a bank of websites that may be found useful for helping to teach certain units. Go to TeacherNet at www.dfee.gov.uk. There have been several other updates to the standards site, too. Numerous to mention here. Explore the site for yourself at www.standards.dfee.gov.uk. Dash 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 dash. Other websites. The Association of Teachers Websites, ATW. The ATW's idea is to be a virtual school, categorized into primary and secondary, with the secondary being further subdivided into virtual departments. Each department is managed by a volunteer who hosts the relevant web pages on his, her own website. In other words, when you are browsing the ATW website, you may be under the impression that you are looking at one actual site, but this is not the case. Each head of department is responsible for maintaining his, her section. And that includes approving or not approving websites to be listed on the site. I was, in fact, approached by the ATW's founder, John Simpkin, to be the head of department for the ICT section. That was very flattering of course, but I declined the offer. The rationale of the ATW is that websites for teachers should be created and approved by teachers. Some of the websites featured are very good. Indeed, particularly in the history section. Definitely worth a look, especially by UK teachers. The secondary section is currently served better than the primary section. The address is www.byteachers.org.uk. Still works, but appears to have a different purpose. Dash 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 dash. Other people's lives. Question: what do John Glenn, Mae West and Geoffrey Chaucer have in common? Answer: they are all amongst the 25,000 people featured on the biography website at www.biography.com. Still works. The biographies are very variable. For example, Chaucer's is quite substantial, whereas Mae West's is just a paragraph long. Nevertheless, it's a site worth bookmarking because it could save a lot of virtual legwork. When you look someone up, there are other links too, for example, to more in-depth websites or to educational material. Dash 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 dash. A useful reference site. An alternative, or a supplement to, search engines is the one-stop shop reference site. One such site is www.infoplease.com. Still works. This takes the form of an online almanac, with headings such as Day in History and Biography of the Day. Its summary of Great Britain is quite good. This is at www.infoplease.com. Still works. A section called Facts Behind the News is very good, but will be of more interest to students of US current affairs than anywhere else. There is also an interactive almanac, and quizzes, and other useful sources of information. Definitely worth a visit. Dash 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 dash. Another useful reference site. The reference desk is also worth a visit. This site is jam-packed with reference sources, and has several search facilities. For example, you can search Encyclopedia Britannica, or Reuters. Its design leaves something to be desired. To say it looks daunting and somewhat overwhelming is putting it mildly. However, it has so many reference resources there at the click of a mouse that it would be silly not to bookmark it and tell your pupils about it. The address is www.reefdesk.com. Still works. Dash 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 dash. A web-based guide to using ICT. Every so often I come across a website which stands out from the rest in terms of its educational usefulness. There are many sites with scores of links for all curriculum areas, and these can be very useful, at least up to a point. Sometimes the list of resources to explore can be almost overwhelming. What makes the Teacher Tools website so attractive is that it takes the ICT teachers' tools, such as word processor, presentation program and so on, and gives you advice on how best to use them to enhance your educational goals for the pupils, as well as technical instruction. Thus each tool has a section called reflections, in which the value of the tool as a vehicle for teaching pupils how to think is discussed. For example, in the section on word processing there is the following. Observation. Email learning experiences include several benefits. They provide students with a clear reason to learn, allow students to practice a second language, enable students to act as teachers and learners, provide multicultural learning experiences through discussion of holidays, word spelling, seasons, television shows, music, school subjects and books. See how this application of word processing skills leads to learning. There follows a link to an interesting email activity for students. This site should be made compulsory for all those teachers who still believe that an adequate scheme of work for school pupils is something like Term 1, Word Processing, Term 2, Spreadsheets and so on. With plenty of useful links, including links to sites about evaluating sites, this is an interesting and very worthwhile site to bookmark. www.2leara.ca. Quality not quantity. Having lots of reference sites is all very well, but how do you know that the information is any good? A site that attempts to get this point across and to address it in a very practical and friendly way is the Quality Information Checklist site at www.quick.org.uk. This gives an 8-point checklist for evaluating websites, with questions like, is the site biased? You can go a bit further into each point. In this case, for example, it explains what bias is, and why a site might be biased. While the site does not go very deeply into some of the points it raises, it is a good starting point. It also contains a set of links to reference sites and search engines, and these are worth checking out as well. The site as a whole is aimed at children rather than adults. Book review. Planning Good Change with Technology and Literacy, by Jamie McKenzie. It's easy to get caught up in the whirlwind of change on the ICT front. Money is being poured into educational ICT by the government, with the result that computer pupil ratios and school internet access have increased dramatically, as has the quality of the infrastructure in schools. However, it's generally acknowledged that all of this counts for very little if the quality of teaching is not high. And I am using teaching here in a general as well as a specific sense, to include planning as well as the activity itself. As in many things, the USA got there before we in the UK did, but reading between the lines of this book, you may come to the conclusion that we have not necessarily drawn the correct conclusions from what we've seen. McKenzie's thesis is that filling schools up with infrastructure and hardware is putting the cart before the horse. If there is no clarity of purpose, we shouldn't be surprised when we discover that the equipment is not being used, so-called screensaver's disease. This is just one of several great phrases, including dot compost and power pointlessness. We should also not be too scandalized when the medium appears to take on greater importance than the message, especially in PowerPoint presentations and much commercial software. Teachers and students need to learn not just how to use the technology, but how to use it appropriately in an educational context. A phrase which comes to mind when reading the book, and is, in fact, mentioned, is the Emperor's New Clothes. The distinguishing characteristic of that story is that people decided to see what they thought they ought to be seeing, instead of what was really there. This book takes on the role of the little boy who blurted out the awful truth. In some respects, the book is perhaps too scathing of governmental approaches. The real world is not black and white, and the reality is that, in the UK at least, a larger number of pupils are now getting the access to ICT that is their right as a result of initiatives to put equipment into schools and set up a training program. I suspect the same is true of the USA as well. We can argue that the cart was put before the horse, but the process has to start somewhere. You may not agree with everything this book says, but reading it certainly makes you think. The problems it highlights and the possible solutions it suggests should be considered by everyone in this field. You can buy this book from Amazon. Tips. If you have any tips you'd like to share with other teachers, please send them to tips@icktineducation.org. Word processing tip. Whatever word processor you use, or the pupils use, make sure that you show a healthy respect for fonts. The word font refers to a typeface and its size, and there are some rules worth knowing about. Don't use more than 2 fonts, 3 at the most, per page. If you do, the result is usually a mess that distracts the reader from the message you are trying to get across. Note that different sizes of the same font count as different fonts, even though the contrast may not be as stark as if you used a different typeface altogether. If you do need to use different sizes of the same typeface, try to make the different sizes relate to each other. For example, use 14 point and 12 point and 10 point, rather than 14 point, 13 point and 9 point. You'd be surprised at how noticeable a lack of proportion can be. There are 2 types of font, serif, which have twiddly bits on, like the text you're reading now, and sans serif, which don't. A good rule is to use a serif font for the body of the text, because the twiddly bits lead the eye on naturally to the next word, and a sans serif font for headings or poster text, because it tends to stand out more. Encourage pupils to use the right font for the job. This is important. Using a cursive script may look great on a wedding invitation, but it's as much use as a chocolate teapot on a poster. After all, the point of a poster is to be readable at a distance. Virtually impossible if a cursive font is used. Get the pupils to try this out for themselves. Explore the use of speciality fonts, like Wingdings. They enable you to include symbols in your text quite easily. For example, if you are producing a help sheet, typing the less than sign, less than, and changing the font to Wingdings results in a picture of a floppy disk. Data handling tip. A question that crops up every so often is whether pupils should be taught access. In my experience, the advocates of doing so always cite the perceived advantages of access over other data handling programs in terms of the features of the programs. However, this is not the correct educational approach. The right approach as far as schools are concerned is to start with what pupils need to know in terms of data handling skills. Now, it may be that for some of these skills, access or a similarly advanced program is the best one to use. But the point is that judgment must be made according to educational criteria, not computer programming criteria. Internet tip. If you come across a website you like, you can bookmark it for future reference. If you use Netscape as your web browser, this is called adding a bookmark, while in Explorer it's called adding to your favorites. If you are not sure how to do so, go to the web browser's help and find out. Sorry, but not everything gets handed to you on a plate in this newsletter. However, if you are using a network in school, life may not be as simple as that. If the ICT coordinator or network manager is on the ball, he will have set up restrictions which prevent ordinary users, i.e. most pupils and teachers, from changing any settings, and that may include adding bookmarks or favorites. So, before you tell your class to bookmark everything they come across that they will want to revisit, make sure that the bookmarks will still be there when they next log on. Even if standalone computers are used, it's still an issue, because their pupils' bookmarks will be saved only on the computer they were using at the time. You can move or copy bookmark files, but there's no need to go to all that trouble. A way around it, and one which makes good use of a very basic skill, is to copy and paste each URL, web address, into a word process document. Some word processes, such as Word, will even convert the addresses into clickable links. Pupils can each maintain their own bookmark file in the form of a word process document, and even carry it around with them on floppy disk if necessary. One thing which should be avoided is having the pupils write out the URLs in their exercise books. Not only is it unnecessary and time-consuming, but also it's a surefire way to introduce errors, not just in writing them into a book, but typing them into the web browser at a later date. Classroom tip. If you take a class into the school's computer suite, make sure you allow enough time for packing up at the end of the lesson. This always takes longer than you might expect. Here is a 3-point plan for ending lessons smoothly. 1. 25 minutes before the end of the lesson, announce that nobody is to try to print any of their work after 15 minutes' time. Printing always takes longer than you think it will, and it's frustrating for the next teacher to have to put up with work from the previous class being printed during her lesson. 2. 10 minutes later, tell the class that there is only 5 minutes of printing time left. 3. 5 minutes later, tell the class not to send any more work to the printer, and to start saving their work. Remember, some pupils will not make any attempt to save their work until you have to threaten them with dire consequences, whilst other pupils find it hard to remember how to save their work properly. Either way, it's not a process that takes just a few seconds, although obviously you will need to adjust the timings given above depending on the particular group. What if you finish too early? There is no such thing. A gap of 3 minutes between all the computers being silenced and the roar of the lunchtime bell represents a perfect opportunity for a quick-fire round of questions about terminology, say, or for someone to summarize what they have achieved that lesson. One thing is vital. Keep up the pace. Allowing pupils to chat amongst themselves until the bell goes is a certain way of guaranteeing that your lesson will end like a damp squib. Your motto should be, if they aren't sweating, they're not working. Word tip. Some time ago we featured the rand utility. This is where you type equals rand in order to generate a few paragraphs of the quick brown fox jumped over the lazy dog. Here's a variation on it, which gives you more control. It is equals rand x, y, where x is the number of paragraphs and y is the number of sentences in each paragraph. Thus, typing equals rand 150, followed by return, will give you 100 paragraphs each consisting of 50 sentences. It's a very fast way of generating dummy text for demonstrating search and replace or for trying out different types of formatting. dash 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 dash. Excel tip. Don't cram everything onto one worksheet. Excel has the ability to create as many worksheets as you need, subject to no limitation apart from your computer system's capacity. For example, in a budget spreadsheet, you could have one sheet for income, one for spending, and one for the balance. By the same token, don't retain sheets that you don't need. If you have several sheets that have nothing on them, delete them. As well as naming your workbook sensibly, name each sheet properly. If you are using one sheet for income, rename it from, say, sheet 1 to income. The test is this: could someone coming to your spreadsheet for the first time make sense of what it's about very quickly? To rename, add or delete sheets, click on the worksheet tab and then press the right mouse button, and choose the option you want from the menu that appears. You can find utilities for worksheets in Excel at www.ictineducation.org. More Sheets enables you add new sheets to an Excel workbook and automatically update a summary sheets columns. My Sheets List Maker is a variation on the More Sheets spreadsheet. What it does is create a menu of all the sheets in the workbook, either going across or down. What's more, each menu item is a hot link to the worksheet it references. Sheet Generator enables you to type a list of names in Excel and create a new set of worksheet tabs corresponding to your names just by clicking a button. Dash 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 dash. Faulty disk tip. If you have a floppy disk that appears to be faulty, as indicated by problems accessing your data, try the following. 1. Put the disk in the drive. 2. Go into My Computer and right-click on the floppy drive icon. 3. Click on Properties. 4. Click on the Tools tab. 5. Click on Check Now. 6. Set it to a surface test and to fix errors automatically. 7. Tell it to go ahead. Once you've run ScanDisk in this way, try to access the data again. If you're successful, make sure you back up all of the data on the disk to another location, such as a directory on your hard drive or another floppy disk. Dash 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 dash. For more tips, look at the ICT in Education website at www.ictineducation.org, especially the articles section and the walkthroughs. If you're interested in the kinds of things you can do with Excel, have a look at the utilities section of the website. One application that may appeal is the Homework Excuse Management System. Equals 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 equals. Over to you. Why do it? Dash 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 dash. In this section of the newsletter, we look at why teachers use computers in their schemes of work and lessons, and what puts them off. This section is, in effect, written by you. If you have any views on what makes teachers reluctant or willing to incorporate computers in their curriculum work, please complete the survey form at www.ictineducation.org. I won't use your name or position unless you authorize me to do so. It seems to be still the case that some of you regard fear of the unknown fear of technology, or fear of the pupils knowing more than you do about computers is reasons that some teachers are reluctant to use them. And, of course, fear of the equipment breaking down. Some of these fears can be addressed by practical means. For example, fear of the pupils knowing more than you do could be balanced by the thought that they don't know as much as you do about the educational aspects involved. In a different context, I used to teach economics. Some of my students were sons and daughters of professional economists. But they still needed me to help them pass their exams. Equipment breakdown can be addressed in several ways by the school, but on a practical level, it's imperative that you have a non-computer-based lesson as a backup. This is no different to a situation in which you intend to show a video in your lesson. If you are sensible, you will have an alternative activity up your sleeve in case the tape gets broken or the video player goes wrong. Another problem is time. This is a real issue, and crops up in various ways. For example, B draws attention to the fact that the pressure for good examination results means that computers won't be used if it can be done quicker without them. Actually, this is a very sensible decision. If you can achieve the same or better results, faster, without a computer than you can with one, what's the point of using a computer? However, this will not be true for all aspects of your subject, as indicated in many, many research projects. Besides, how will you even know if it's true unless you try it out as an experiment? Other pressures, such as the literacy and numeracy hours, in the UK, and only having one computer in the classroom also play their part, as pointed out by SF of NHP School in the UK, and JS. It's worth looking at the resources cited in this newsletter, such as the Teacher Resource Exchange and the ATW, for ideas on using computers in the literacy and numeracy hours. For help on using one computer in a classroom, look at my ebook, Using ICT, mentioned earlier. So what about the positive side? IG, of WCS in the UK, mentions what he calls the OOAH factor, when people realise that a computer can do something that they couldn't, or at least not as quickly or easily. A similar point, in relation to control technology, is made by COD, an IT advisor and NOF trainer in the UK, and by KS. DD, ICT coordinator at the VSS in the UK, mentions the fact that software can make a teaching point easier to handle. BF, who works in schools in the USA, tells his fourth grade pupils, approximately equivalent to year 5 in the UK, that when he puts their work on websites that their work is on the biggest bulletin board in the world. JC, IT coordinator at X in Malta, says that teachers found it inspiring to have a first aid course taught by the PSE staff using an interactive whiteboard. Other people find pupils' progress inspiring. For example, JAR, ICT coordinator at BS in the UK, cites the case of a low ability maths group working well without any problems. Several people have said that government assistance has been very valuable. Lane, ICT coordinator at MJS in the UK, says, having their own computer with school-compatible software via the Computers for Teachers scheme has made a huge difference to several of my colleagues. A similar point is made by Hydrogen Boride. BW, of SMC, in the UK, says that primary teachers can be empowered through the NOF training when supported by a head teacher who gives it time and money. If you would like to contribute to this section, complete the survey at www.ictineducation.org. When contributing, please bear in mind that one-word comments are not often useful, because the meaning can be ambiguous. On the other hand, please do not write reams. Thanks to everyone who completed the survey form. Features. Dash 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 Many people have given their views about the classroom of the future. 4. A variety of views by some well-known people in the UK, go to futureclass.ngfl.gov.uk. You will also come across a downloadable document called Towards the Classroom of the Future. Produced by the DFEE, it includes descriptions of what some schools have been doing in this area. These visions and the document are very interesting, and there is a facility on the website to take part in the discussion by contributing your views. I don't want to summarize these documents here, but to propose a few suggestions on this topic. If you have any views on these points, or wish to make some of your own, please email them to cotf@icteneducation.org, or contribute your views to the official website given above. Here, then, is my list of ideas. All the technology referred to is available now. Much of the technology for the classroom of the future actually exists now. The difference in the future will be that it will be much more common and used as a matter of course. The classroom of the future will be a smart classroom. It should be possible for desks to have computers built into them, much like you can buy rulers and mouse mats with calculators built into them. The computer would know who is sitting at the desk and log on automatically and produce a menu of options, including load last piece of work. Connectivity and embeddedness will be the guiding principles. Connectivity, in the sense that whatever device pupils do their work on will not lead to a cul-de-sac, it will be straightforward to start work on a handheld computer in one place and continue on a laptop somewhere else. Embeddedness, in the sense that you won't have to think about what you're using, because it will all be part of the fabric of living. These two ideas are, of course, closely connected. Schools as such won't disappear, but the widespread use of handheld or laptop computers, the internet and teleconferencing will mean that those who are unable to attend school because of, say, illness, will not be excluded from the learning process. Also, guided learning time will be extended beyond the normal school day. Students will complete online lessons and assessments. These will be marked automatically, and the results emailed to both the student and the teacher. Students will use handheld computers to read ebooks, or compilations of resources in one or other ebook format. Likely contenders are Microsoft's ebook reader and Adobe's new Palm computer version of PDF, currently available in a trial version at www.adobe.co.uk. Schools will buy their lessons in a pick-and-mix style from online content providers. Schools will print out books and similar resources through the use of print-on-demand technology, perhaps through a licensing system similar to the one used for photocopying resources at present. Richard Charkin, chief executive of Macmillan, has warned that the probable take-up of print-on-demand by intermediaries such as libraries is potentially the biggest threat facing booksellers. Teachers will continue to be the single most important element in the learning process. Pundits, who plug only one vision of the future, will be proved wrong. Anyone who produces a list like this will turn out to be wrong. Dash 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 dash. Getting the most from your ICT coordinator. Remember, your ICT coordinator is a human being. Here are a few tips on getting the best out of him or her. If possible, ask the ICT coordinator to work with you in planning the use of computers in your subject. Book the computer room well in advance, saying, "Oh look, it's raining. Might as well take the kids in the computer room," is not the best way to obtain the ICT coordinator's full cooperation. Tell the ICT coordinator what you would like to achieve by going into the computer room. Start from your objectives rather than software skills, because he may be able to suggest a better way of achieving them. Find out what software is available. Ask the ICT coordinator what you have to do in order to make files available for the pupils, and how to make them read-only, so that pupils cannot change the originals, or read, write, so that they can. Ask the ICT coordinator how to set up templates, such as in the word processor. Does the room have help for the pupils in terms of using the software? Or will you be expected to produce your own? Find out how to enable printing, how to pause the printing, and who pays, and how much, for the printouts. Also, make sure you know how and where to obtain more printer paper. Find out where pupils' work should be saved, including the drive and the folder. For example, someone logged on as Fred Smith may save his work on Drive N in a folder called Fred Smith. Find out how you should report faults. Is there a fault form available, such as the one in Managing ICT? Upload any files you need to the shared area on the network, or copy the files onto diskettes if standalones will be used. You may need to ask the ICT coordinator or a technician to do tasks like these. Don't leave such requests till the last minute. Find out how much notice is required, and then provide the files at least a day sooner than necessary. Check that all pupils have user IDs for the network, that you have a list of them, with passwords, and or that there are spare user IDs that pupils can log on with. If you do use spare user IDs, make arrangements for transferring files to pupils' own areas before the next lesson. Check that the pupils' user IDs will give them access to the programs and files you want asterisk them to have access to. Make sure you have your own user ID, and that you can gain access to the same applications and files as your pupils. Also make sure that your desktop looks the same as theirs, or it could confuse them when you demonstrate something. Find out how you will demonstrate software skills to the pupils. Has the projector for the electronic whiteboard been switched on, and do you know how to use the whiteboard? How do you log on to the computer to which the large display monitor is attached? Will you need to ask the pupils to gather around a computer workstation? If so, which one will it be, and which pupil will you ask to sit there? Choose one who won't mind being disturbed. Make sure that you have reached a point in your scheme of work where the computers will be used meaningfully, rather than used only because you've got the room booked. Have some non-computer work available in the computer room just in case there's a power cut in the middle of the lesson. Taken from Using ICT, see www.ictineducation.org for details. Something to ponder. The other day I had the dubious pleasure of reading a lesson plan for teaching pupils about using email. It had obviously been written by a teacher who was new to all this, because it had all the hallmarks of someone who was terrified of missing something out or, heaven forfend, losing control. It was the equivalent of those lessons where the teacher stands at the front saying things like, "And now all of you press the enter key." It was full of things like, "Spend 20 minutes discussing when email would be used, or when texting would be used." I couldn't help a wry smile appearing on my face as I thought of all those pupils in this lesson silently texting their friends on the other side of the classroom about how boring the lesson is. I think what is more important is to discuss the sensible use of email and texting, and the importance of taking elementary personal security measures. Or am I simply throwing the baby out with the bathwater? equals If you like this newsletter, tell someone about it. equals About the editor. I work in ICT in education. You can find out more by going to www.ictineducation.org or by sending any email to tfresume@fastfacts.net. My most recent, printed, book is Managing ICT. My previous book was Make Time with IT. Managing ICT looks at all aspects of managing ICT in schools and colleges and provides checklists to help the busy ICT coordinator. Janet Nock, writing on the Amazon UK website, said, "What a useful book to any ICT coordinator. Like many ICT coordinators, I acquired the position by being confident enough to use computers with the children in my NQT year. I was duly appointed in my first year as the ICT coordinator. I had to review the policy and scheme of work in a subject that I had received little advice from my training institute. This book rescued me and has become an invaluable resource. A must-have to experienced and frightened coordinators looking for advice on schemes and resources. Thank you, Terry. Managing ICT, Terry Friedman, £9.99, Hodder and Stoughton, ISBN 0-340-75334-X. Make Time with IT considers numerous ways in which teachers and school, college administrators at all levels can use computers to reduce their workload. The tips contained in the book are summarized on my website. The review in Interactive said, "It tackles the complexities of computing across a wide range of technicalities and procedures and does all this with a lightness of approach and welcome snippets of humor." Make Time with IT, Terry Friedman, £19.95, Questions Publishing, ISBN 1-898149-542. Both of these books are available from Amazon via www.ictineducation.org. Equals. Quick test answer. Believe it or not, the quote is over 200 years old. It comes from William Blake's The Marriage of Heaven and Hell, which was produced between 1790 and 1793. Dash 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 dash. About the proofreader. Dash 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 dash. Mark Adams works as a primary mathematics advisory teacher, numeracy consultant. He is married to an ICT advisor and enjoys proofreading a variety of documents. Please send offers of work and inquiries about rates to mark@eurobell.co.uk. Equals. To subscribe to this newsletter. Dash 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 dash. Send any email to compic-subscribe@listbot.com. Please feel free to pass on this newsletter or extracts from it to anyone whom you think might gain some benefit from it, but please acknowledge the source. If you like the ICT in Education website, please click to recommend it. www.recommend-it.com. equals. Disclaimer. Dash 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 dash. Whilst every care has been taken in the preparation of this newsletter, T. Friedman cannot be held responsible for the accuracy of the information within it or for any consequences arising from it. See, 2001 T. Friedman email, compic@icteneducation.org. ... To unsubscribe, write to compic-unsubscribe@listbot.com. If you found this article interesting or useful, or both, why not subscribe to my free newsletter, Digital Education? It's been going since the year 2000. And has slow news, informed views and honest reviews for computing and ed tech teachers, and useful experience-based tips. Sharing is caring. In history, from the archives tags computers in classrooms, history.